Well, I'm going to pray for us as we open up and think about God's word together. Our Father, we do pray this morning with thanks and praise to you for this opportunity. For some of us, even to meet physically is a wonderful blessing, to be in presence and company with each other. Just a reminder of your great presence with us, Lord. And we pray this morning that you would open up your word to us now by your Spirit, that you would cause us to see afresh, anew, even for the first time, cause us to glory in you, to take refuge in you, to know that you, the great and glorious God, are with us, for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We are in a time, in a season, aren't we, of uncertainty. Certainly that word has been thrown around. But I know that on the one hand, it's a season of some relief, although this morning's probably a bit of a picture of that uncertainty as well. We see in the midst of changing, easing restrictions and freedoms, and even things that are kind of, coming forward, or coming in the near future. We're provided with this great hope for the coming weeks and months ahead, for Christmas celebrations maybe, or for get-togethers with people we love. And some of you I know have been able to experience some of that and really enjoyed it, of course. Physically coming back together as a church, even in limited ways, and particularly as we anticipate in December especially, where we're allowed to even have more restrictions ease. But I feel there's still a great sense of uncertainty, and certainly the people I talk about, or talk to or listen to, there's uncertainty in the air, as well as a virus apparently. Fears about the unknown of COVID, though, is what I'm talking about. There's uncertainty, isn't there? There's fears of a third wave for us. Even yesterday, I was with one of my sisters, and just this sense of, we've done so well as a country, and then that sense of, oh, hang on, is this over? And I know Becky's highlighted to me too some of the stuff, and I know is going on in the US. And so there's definitely uncertainty, isn't there? There's definitely that sense of what's coming around the corner. Fears of maybe catching the virus ourselves, especially for those of us who are more vulnerable. I know that that's a real fear for some, and even legitimately. And even this general anxiety, isn't there? I thought this was interesting, that even coming back from having months of disconnection and being cut off, even the anxiety of coming back to the normal, that would cause us some anxiety is an interesting, feeling, isn't it? Going back to the normal is a sense of more change, and more change brings more anxiety or worry or concern. And we have been reminded that life is always uncertain. That's the thing as we read the scriptures, isn't it? As we come to know our God, we know that life is actually always uncertain, but maybe even more than ever we're feeling that. We read just this week in our daily readings, if you're reading with us in James, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Our lives and what surrounds us, it's so uncertain, isn't it? Even unpredictable in many ways. What will the future hold is the question I think a lot of people are maybe thinking about. And hoping for good, but not sure. And we're never sure, are we? And I was reminded kind of in this light of uncertainty of Psalm 46. So that's all that to explain that. And this is what I shared on last week for our brothers and sisters at St. Clair. So when you were here, I was in my garage on Zoom preaching to them live. And I just wanted to stop quickly and say thank you to our church, because this season, I know I've been sabbaticaling, I've been resting, and I have been, but I was very clear from the start that wouldn't mean no preaching. It would just mean no preaching at Westview. And it's been a real blessing for me to preach in other contexts, and certainly in some places where I've really relieved people who have needed a rest. So let me thank you, and even thank you on their behalf, because freeing me up meant that we, through me, could serve them, even as I was able to on Zoom last week. So that's where this has come from. That's why I was able to easily say to Tim, hey, if you want to push it back, that's fine, because we can speak about Psalm 46. And that's what we're doing this morning. So let me read Psalm 46. Probably not unknown to any here, I'm sure, but it's a beautiful psalm for us to reflect on. So let me read that. It should be on the screen. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation or dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter or shake, stumble. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord, Yahweh of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Well, the structure of this psalm, it sounds like we're not attacking a psalm when we define its structure. It's a song and it's beautiful, but it's good for us to see structure. It's helped me. So the structure of this psalm appears to be divided into three parts, and it appears to be divided by Selah, this term Selah. Now, unfortunately, we don't know what Selah means, but it's very likely a musical term. These are songs, these are psalms. And it's probably used or likely used as a way to indicate a pause or to give opportunity for reflection. So that is, pause on this, reflect on these things. That seems like a very plausible explanation because of how it's used, not just here in this psalm, but in other places, okay? So pause or give opportunity, reflect on these things, a moment to pause. So maybe a break in the music, maybe like a little bit of an instrumental. This meaning would make much sense. So using that kind of that marker, we're gonna look at the psalm in that way. So let's look at those first few verses in the first Selah or Selah. God is our refuge and strength, verse 1. A very present help or ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. And what a truth here for us to pause at, right? To reflect on together, to stop, to think about. God is our refuge and strength. God, the Creator, the one who made all things, the one who spoke all things into being, He, this God, is our refuge and our strength. For those who trust in this God, He is our place of refuge, of shelter, of safety. He is our strength and protection. A few weeks ago, we had some pretty incredible hail at our house. Reuben loved it very much. Because one of the problems was we have a relatively new car, and turns out it doesn't quite fit into the garage. I kind of knew that anyway. Got a message from our insurer saying, hail's coming, take precautions, save us some money, pretty much. No, look after yourself, keep yourself safe. So I went, okay, well, the garage is pretty empty, so I'll move the car in and, avoid some hail damage. So I moved the car in, and it was pretty much in, but I couldn't close the door. And so I don't know if you had the hail that we had, but boy, there was hail. And so for about 15, 20 minutes, it is bucketing down with hail. I mean, almost golf ball size. Reuben saved a lot of them, put them in the freezer. he was having a ball. He's screaming through the house saying, "Daddy, it's so, look at the back, look at this." And I'm trying to, what am I doing in the car? Like, you know, and the problem was, so that all sounds fine. Like the car's pretty much in there. The garage is protecting it. Obviously, it's got a roof. And the problem was the wind was so happens just to be going exactly against the garage door, like almost sideways. I don't know if you got the hail, the windstorm we got for about 20, 30 minutes, but it was incredible. And it was just going directly against our door, which we couldn't close, as I said, because the car's there. And so this hail and there's, you know, wind and water just gushing into our garage. Thankfully, a lot of electronic things were at the other side and didn't get wet. But it was, there was some, certainly some cleanup to do. And I thought, what an anti-picture of what we're talking about here, right? You know, God is not a refuge like that. He doesn't get caught in a storm and go, whoops, I forgot to close the door, or the car doesn't quite fit. The absolute opposite image of that is our God, isn't it? That he is the refuge, he is the fortress, he is the shelter, he's the protection, he's the God who always sees the storm coming and the door is always locked, it's always shut, the wind never pelts through, the rain never gets through. For those who trust in our God, he is our place of refuge. He's our shelter. He's our safety. He's our strength and protection. Well, if we take the image of my garage not closing and of being overwhelmed by the force of the storm, as I said, this is the opposite of what God is. He is secure. He is a shelter. He is a protection from the storm. And he is, what we read here then, is a very present or ever-present help in trouble. He's the God who's always near. He's always here. He's always present. He sees the storm coming, and as I said, he closes the door in time. Nothing escapes his eye. Nothing misses his knowing. I think we're tempted, aren't we? And almost as a school of a Christian type of thought, although it's not really Christian or biblical, we'll save God face by saying he can't really help, or, you know, he's just wound up the world and he sort of lets it go, but he's not involved, and so therefore he's not guilty when things go wrong and he doesn't save us. But he is involved, he is there, and so it leaves us with questions, doesn't it? But it doesn't change the reality of who our God is. He sees the storm coming, nothing escapes his eye. Nothing misses his knowing. Another translation has, he is truly our helper in times of trouble. Psalm 54 says, God is my helper. I mean, I don't know, like, you wouldn't say it if it wasn't in the Bible, would you? But God is my helper. Wow, this is just incredible. The all-glorious, majestic God, the holy, holy, holy God that you guys read about, that we read about together. He lowers himself, even humbles himself, and he comes to our aid. Even to the point where he can be referred to as our helper, as your helper, says the psalmist. That's pretty mind-blowing. So what follows after these words makes complete sense then. If that's the case, if this is who our God is, verse 2, therefore, in light of this fact that God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in all our trouble, we will not fear, says the psalmist. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. What is there that could, if this is who we know our God is, what is there truly that could make us fear if we realize who is constantly with us? If we realize the strength and the shelter and the safety and the protection that the Lord God is for us, his people. Therefore, we will not fear, says the psalmist. And the list of things here then gives in these verses is no doubt, I think, a metaphorical picture of the chaos of almost the absolute worst case scenario. I think that's what's going on here. So, does the very earth give way? Do the mountains move into the heart of the sea? Waters roaring and foaming, mountains trembling at the swelling of the sea. Earthquakes in this part of the world were not uncommon, so people would probably know what it is to experience an earthquake, the shaking of the earth. They would know something of the physical manifestation, if you like, of these events. But the picture here, I think, is one of the worst case scenarios. So what if the worst case scenario takes place? And that is a metaphorical picture for not just the physical event, but for the turmoil that we experience inwardly. The turmoil of life and things not going the way we would hope and plan and think, even the uncertainty. As if to say, imagine the absolute worst thing that could happen, the world caving in all around us. The sea here is an image of chaos, isn't it? And for the ancient world especially, it was a picture of chaos. Gareth referred just a few weeks ago, didn't he, to the tsunami back in 2004, where a quarter of a million, 250,000 people were died as a result of that, right, in the Indian Ocean. That's incredible. I mean, yeah. The sea has good reason to be known as chaotic, to be feared. And so we have here a picture of the forces of uncontrollable chaos is what the psalmist is highlighting for us. And using that as an image not just of the physical, but of the turmoil in our lives. Now let's move on to the second section then. Verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation or dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter or shake. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. If our picture before was one of the uncontrollable forces of chaos in nature, it now turns in these verses to the unruly or maybe the uncontrollable nations. The nations who rage, the kingdoms who totter, they stumble, they stagger, they shake. Before we had the raging sea, but now we have a peaceful stream, a river, which makes the city of God glad, the place where the temple is, the place where God's glory, his presence dwelt. There's peace here, isn't there? There's joy here. There's gladness for the people of God here in the city because he's there, because he helps them. He utters his voice and the earth melts. Wow. Yahweh Almighty, Yahweh of heaven's armies, of hosts, heaven's armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What a cause for us to pause and reflect, brothers and sisters. The one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, who said, I am who I am. Remember, Moses said, what do I say to the leaders of Israel when I go to them? And God says, I am, has sent me to you. That's what you should say. I am Yahweh Almighty. He is with us. Exodus 15 could be in the background here, where we have the Song of Moses. You might remember God's deliverance from Egypt, his incredible parting of the Red Sea. The kids will remember that one, walking through on the dry land. And here's just a taste of that song. Sorry, I can't sing it. Don't know the tune, but I'll read it to you. Exodus 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them, and they went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, shatters the enemies. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury, it consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed, that is, they went solid in the heart of the sea. And it goes on more, but we won't read that now. Let's come to the third and final stanza of our psalm from verse 8. Psalm 46, verse 8. Come, behold the works of Yahweh. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Over and over again in Israel's history, Yahweh Almighty, the Lord, had been their refuge and their strength, their ever-present help in all their trouble, the one who truly was their helper in times of distress, both in the natural forces that we see in this psalm of chaos and in the human forces of evil that had banded together against God's people. He had been with them. When there was a famine, he sent Joseph ahead of his people, even using what was intended for evil to bring about good. Joseph sent as a slave, but God used him to save. And when there was an enemy against God's people, he would show his power in incredible ways. We know this. For example, you may remember when he chose to save Israel with just 300 men and not the 32,000 army that were available. So that the people, we're told, might not boast in themselves, but boast in the Lord. And so the refrain here, the exhortation here in this psalm, we will not fear. And she, God's city, will not be moved. This is not because everything will be held back. This is not because God's people will not face troubles or great hardships, persecutions, famine, sword, as Paul says. No, this is because God himself is our refuge and strength in all these things that we face. He himself is the very present help in all our trouble. Yahweh of heaven's armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And brothers and sisters, when we open the New Testament and we consider these truths, as we always should do, it should always be in our mind, right? When we're in the Old Testament, thinking about how, and Reuben's got some really good kids' Bibles that do this, what does this mean in Christ? You know, how does this point to Jesus? How is this fulfilled and seen ultimately in Jesus? And the wonder of these truths in our psalm, of course, only become more wonderful and even incredible beyond words. Let's just think about that briefly together. That in Christ Jesus, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble to that ultimate degree and extent, right? Because Jesus himself, the very eternal God, became our refuge and protection from sin, from death, and from Satan. Jesus is our refuge and strength from the chaos of our own folly and sin. Jesus is our refuge from the chaos of this broken world and the uncertainties, the evil world that seeks to undo us and overwhelm us. Jesus became the refuge from the storm of God's righteous and just punishment against our great sinfulness. We came across this just a few weeks ago, didn't we, in our reading in 1 Thessalonians 1. Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come, that is the right and just punishment of God against sin. But the evil in us, his people, was atoned for by his innocent sacrifice, by his righteous life, and by his powerful resurrection. The justice of God was satisfied once and for all in his death for sin. And now we can say, brothers and sisters, with such clarity and fullness and depth and beauty, we can cry out with the greatest confidence in Christ, with that certain hope before God, that in Jesus, the Lord of hosts is with us. That Jesus Emmanuel, God is with us. He is our eternal fortress. Amen. One of the songs from my dad's funeral service 10 years ago now was that old hymn that I'd never heard of, I think. Maybe a number of times my dad had played it or something. Some of you will know it. Jesus, Lover of My Soul. But a powerful line from that hymn says this, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. I love that. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Isn't that the beauty of this psalm here, brothers and sisters? We're tempted in the uncertain times that we face to be overwhelmed by it all. Every day we're tempted to be anxious, to be troubled by so many things. We're tempted in the uncertainties of tomorrow to give ways to fear today, to give way to fear today. And that is real. And although it is only part of the picture, it is true to reality. Today and tomorrow are uncertain to a great degree. And apart from Christ, we should fear greatly. But God calls us here in this psalm to be still and know that I am God. Jesus shows us at every turn in his life, his lordship over nature, his lordship over the nations, just as we see in this psalm. But this did not mean that he did not suffer, of course. On the contrary, he suffered greatly. But he knew that his Father was with him. What did he say to his disciples when they all promised him amazing promises that, oh, you know, even if I have to go to death, Lord, and then we're told they all left him and fled, probably a few hours later. Jesus says, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have trouble and hardship. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He knew his Father was with him. Jesus is always the chief example of what a life of faith in God looks like lived out, isn't it? Jesus did this in a fully human way by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, so that he's able to sympathize with our every weakness and temptation. Because in every respect, he's tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus shows us perfectly what it looks like to believe that God is our refuge and strength, that God is the ever-present help in all our trouble. Jesus shows us exactly what that looks like because he faced the greatest trouble and he did not abandon the truth that God was with him. Be still and know. It's probably actually a command to the nations, or it might be to Israel. It's in the plural. And be still and know, it could be cease from your striving is the idea here. You know, even drop your weapons, like give up. I will be exalted among the nations, God says. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts will have the final victory over all the chaotic forces of nature, over viruses and diseases and sickness and even death. He will reign over all. He does. And so in Jesus' life, we see a glimpse into this reality. We see his power over nature, he who calmed the raging seas, who said, be still, and they were still. And we see Jesus' power over Satan and sin to rebuke and to release and to forgive sinners. We see his power over humanity's brokenness and death, his power to make clean and to raise the dead to life. And this, the Lord of heaven's armies, that is Jesus, he has been exalted, hasn't he? He's been given the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Amen. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I was meeting up with someone recently just talking about other religions and just thinking, Jesus is so different, isn't he? He says it's me. He doesn't point to someone else or that he's won along the journey. No, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has been exalted. He has been given the name that is above every name. Brothers and sisters, hardships have come. Trials have come in this season. And so they will continue to come until the day we go to be with the Lord. Uncertainties, difficulties, and great and overwhelming suffering will come. It will continue to come. Again, I was speaking to someone the other day. There are no promises in Christ that they will not come. On the contrary, they will come more in different ways. But in truth, Jesus is still our refuge and strength. He is always our ever-present help in trouble. He is the Lord of hosts. He is our refuge and strength. He's our ever-present help in trouble. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, whose name is above every other name, the King over all. And he, this one, is with us. Selah. Whom shall we fear? What shall we fear? Shall we fear the earth giving way, or even the mountains being moved into the heart of the sea, or the nations as they rage against the people of God, or the turmoil of our own souls' deepest struggles that we wouldn't even share with another? Brothers and sisters, Yahweh of heaven's armies is with us. The God of Jacob in Jesus is our eternal fortress. Pause and reflect on that in your life. Let that grip you. Let that hold you. Let that keep you. Because the storms of life will keep coming. They're not giving up. Cease your striving and remember that he is God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted in your life. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, to Jesus. He has been highly exalted. He has been given the name that is above every name. So remember, O weary sinner, remember, O justified and sanctified saint, the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress, even forever, in Christ Jesus, your Lord and my Lord. Let me pray. We praise you, Lord of hosts, that you are with us, O God. That you, Father, have sent us your precious Son to take our place, to be our refuge, to be my refuge, to be your people's refuge, to be the refuge from the punishment that our sins deserve. And now in Christ, to be our fortress forever, Father, to be with us through your Spirit in us every day, to shield us from the storms of life until they pass us by. Give us courage, we pray, Father, in you, in your power, in your shelter. Give us strength in your strength, that we might rejoice as the people whose God is with them, who in Christ is our fortress forever and ever. Amen.